All right. Welcome to episode 4 of the Guardian Project podcast. No, this is 4. Yeah. This is episode 4 of the Guardian Project podcast.
Where have I been?
And I'm your host, Andy. I'm just like Chandra, Acolyte of Flame, because I'm just shy of 30 years old and can still sit crisscross applesauce.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I thought so.
And I'm Brian, and I'm the cloud in your eyes that Elton John referred to in the hit song, Daniel.
Please listen carefully.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
I broke you.
I have no idea what you're referencing there.
You ever heard the song Daniel?
Must be
the clouds in my eyes. I go Daniel, look like Daniel.
I don't know that song at all.
Please don't sue me, Sir Elton John. I love your music.
What do we have on the agenda this week?
Talking about Elton John. So it looks like we're going to do a M20 recap from the pre-release weekend, 4th of July. There's some bannings and unbannings in Magic. And then we're also going to talk about Standard a little bit from Arena. And we're also going to talk about the war foil sheet situation, what's going on with that.
All right. How was your 4th of July?
Well, before we do that, Andy, do you have something to tell the people?
Are you alluding to my skateboard story?
No, I'm talking about how much you love me. Go on, George. Tell him about the rabbits.
Brian pulled a commander deck for me today, and it's his least favorite thing to do at work.
Oh, it is. That's how much I love you. I went against the core of my character, and I did that for you.
He loves when I send him a giant list of cards, and I'm like, can you pull these? Yeah, I love you. Can you pull these for me? And he's like, you have to tell everyone on the podcast that I did this. I said, okay.
Okay.
But I guess I also told you about my skateboard, so
yeah.
I bought one last week.
Oops.
It's not a quarter-life crisis. I just needed a different way to work out, and I wiped out.
It kind of is a quarter-life crisis.
Right? And I wiped out real hard. But like I said, the first thing that I did was I looked around to see if anybody watched and saw me, and they didn't. Then the pain came.
That's where you learn.
But I was out for about 45 minutes, and it was a good workout, but I am not good at skateboarding. I don't know why I thought I would be. I figured it was going to be.
Tony Hawk can do it. Why can't you?
I was shredding at Riverbend's Park. I was trying to combo off there on the rails.
Oh,
you remember playing that game?
Instead of you fizzled out.
Yeah. Well, I only fell once though. I mean, to be fair.
To be fair.
And it was really hot out. But Nick kept his phone on. He goes, "I'm going to take my phone off of vibrate. In case you fall and break your arm, I'll hear you when you call me."
That GoPro camera that you have, it just won't do it.
Oh, I wish I had a GoPro. That would have been
doesn't,
fun.
Yeah.
And what'd you do over the 4th of July weekend?
Ooh, I got to work on my house. Woo!
What'd you do on the house?
Worked on it. No, okay. We put in, finished putting in our cabinets in our kitchen. We finally got them all back from Home Depot. Only took 3 weeks. And when we got it, one was cracked.
Oh.
Yeah. So we ended up getting like $300 off our entire order.
The joys of home ownership.
I know. Then we bought a refrigerator, so now my anxiety is at an all-time high.
Do you have an ice cube maker in your fridge?
I do.
Oh, that's the best.
It goes grrrr, ice.
Can you make crushed ice?
I can do both.
Crushed ice is the best ice.
It makes me so happy that I can do that.
I like crushed.
Not crushed.
But
water.
Don't switch between too much because it's going to, then you get that like giant block and then all the ice just falls out and goes all over your kitchen.
I hate that so much.
Or maybe that just happened because I always messed it up.
I don't know. I probably done it.
So, recap of last week. So, M20 pre-release happened.
Yes, it did.
So, you worked it, right?
Yeah, I worked one on, we have one during the day on Saturday.
Did it have super low attendance? Because that's all I was hearing about.
Yeah, our Friday one, you know, Wizards allowed all the stores to run it earlier on Saturdays rather than midnight. We ran ours at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Wait, on Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
We had like 22, which is, you know, decent number for us at any given thing. But then on Saturday, the one I work, we had 10.
How many would you say you usually get, like double that?
Yeah, like 20 to 30 on a Saturday.
I wonder if it has to do with the fact that the pre-release happened on Arena a week before.
That probably had something to do with
it. Well, not even a full week. I guess a couple of days before, but some people probably had played it before. Maybe didn't want to go. I don't know.
I think it had more to do with Saturday specifically was the weather. There was like flash floods mornings all day. It was just like
on off.
Yeah. Weather.
Did you play? Did you play on arena yet?
I played it on arena. Yeah. Okay. I did drafts and stuff. Yeah.
I haven't done a single one. I feel like I don't want to spend my gems and coins on M20. I don't know.
Gold and silver.
Yeah.
Your treasure hoard.
Silver and gold. Yeah. I don't want to spend it on that. I don't think I'd rather wait for the next actual like core set to come out. Well, not core set, but like a main story set to come out.
Oh yeah.
Like a non core set. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I did the pre-release or the pre-ordering of the package, but to get some cards from the set, but I'm not really doing anything with
it's also just a core set, like pre-release, and it's like it's a core set. It is what it is. It's the same thing every year.
Yeah. I mean, and there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, unless you were playing Elementals or Blue-White, I guess, from what I've heard, is a lot of people are just getting ran over by Elementals and Limited.
Yeah, everybody just forces Elementals into everything.
Yeah.
I'm playing Blue-White Fires. I guess I'll play a Risen Reef.
Okay, so that's a really good segue into the next section of Standard decks. Because now there's a lot of stuff happening, and the decks aren't stale, and we're not seeing the same Esper control and red deck wins every single match, because that's all I ever saw for like the last 2 weeks. And so I built, which I think is my favorite deck now, the Omniscience combo deck with Risen Reef. Okay, it's so fun.
Remember when people were sleeping on Tameo? Now it's like the most broken planeswalker in Standard.
Okay, for real though, it really is. I ended up getting, I was playing the version that had Llanowar Elves in it there's a version that plays Gift of Paradise at 3. And I was like, I don't know, that seems really slow and you need a lot of mana in this deck. So I played the 4 Llanowar Elves and you got like your Utopia, it's not Utopia Sprawl, it's Utopia, what's the other one? Urban Utopia. That comes in, draw a card, and enchants a land, it taps for any color.
Oh, nice.
And then it's got Risen Reef and the 0/3 elemental that taps for green. Or double green if you control 4 creatures. Anyway, so that's like your elemental package. It's honestly just those 2 creatures.
Yeah.
And then you play Tameo on Omniscience and hope for the best. And it's pretty consistent. And Flood of Tears. I guess that's what makes the whole combo. So you Flood of Tears, return everything, play Omniscience, play everything back down, and hopefully you have a card draw engine going. So either Risen Reef to throw all of the lands from your library out onto the battlefield, or the Urban Utopia to draw a card, and then you use the Tameo to return the Flood of Tears and you cast it again for free, and if they don't have a counterspell, you do just win the game. I personally don't know how you lose at that point, because everything's free, and as long as you're drawing one additional card,
like free.
You're just watching your opponent's just watching you play. I mean, that's, you're just playing alone until you draw, and the way it wins is by Jace Wielder of Mysteries drawing your own deck out.
So mysterious. And mystery machine.
Jinkies.
Zoinks.
Zoinks.
Scooby Snack.
What other references do we have to that?
I don't know.
And so it all
nostalgia this week.
Yeah. And it also plays the card that draws target player 7 cards. Overflowing
Insight.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And you cast that for free, draw 7, and then it was actually, you know, first world problems. I felt like I had too many cards in my hand to play for free, and it was it was slowing my computer down. And I was like, "That's not a problem to have."
Where's all your megabits?
When you, yeah, right. So that deck I think is by far my favorite from what I've seen. But I've also been getting run over by Black White Vampires.
Dun 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 dun.
Sorin Imperius Bloodlord -3 to put in Vona or Twilight Prophet on turn three.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, I won through it luckily because Flood of Tears returns everything, but
Flood of Tears from your opponent.
I know, honestly, but that deck is pretty fast. And I always forget that the Odonto Vanguard gets +2/+0 on your turn when it's swinging. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's just a 1/1. Oh wait, no. That's a 3/1 that can become indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, have you seen any other decks that are standing out to you?
Just because it's old favorite, Mono Blue is kind of making a comeback, especially on like the BO1 games.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is there anything new?
They're playing the Planeswalker, the move Yangling.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's a beer name, but I don't remember her actual name.
Her actual name is Yanling.
Oh, nice.
I guess, so in the Chinese culture, I guess you write them. You write the last name,
yeah,
first?
Family name first.
The
yeah.
family name first.
Look so, at you Googling. I'm impressed right now.
I know.
I'm so happy.
Well, at first I didn't understand it because I was like, I don't, why does it say Planeswalker? And then because the Planeswalker type was Yanling.
Yeah.
And that's why. But yeah. It also plays the new Flash creature. There's a Flash 1-1. It costs like 2 or 3, but they have more Flash stuff now.
Yeah. So they can play on their opponent's turn even more.
That is the best way to play.
Yeah, on your opponent's turn.
On your opponent's turn. You just play on their turn. You don't play on your turn.
And yeah. Playing on your turn is boring.
I mean, what noob plays on their own turn?
Scrubs.
Or I don't bronze. Want no scrub. He can't get no love from me. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Those are the lyrics.
Yeah. Mine are better.
Yeah, so I think that now that M20's out, we're going to see a lot more new stuff. Or I know Green Red Dinos Red Green Dinos, yeah, is doing really well as well. It crushes. It's just so fast.
9 billion years in the making.
I mean, the number of times that I see Mono Green and I'm just thinking, oh, this is just the Nissa deck. And then it's not. On turn 4, they drop a red and you're like, oh no.
Oh no, you were bamboozled, sir.
Oh no. And then they start swinging for 5 trample at instant speed or just with haste. I was like, ugh. I can't block this. And then when you see, what's the one with hexproof? It's like a 6/5. I don't know. It's a Carnage Tyrant.
Oh.
I can't remove that
either.
That has
more than hexproof. That has like everything except for the kitchen.
The kitchen
sink.
Yeah. I mean, it just ate the kitchen sink.
Yeah. Because it's a dinosaur.
No, it's...
So big.
Yeah, it is really good. So those are the three that I'm seeing more than anything, but I also like the mono white Ajani life gain deck. So Ajani...
you would like a life gain deck.
So you just sit there until you hopefully get to 35 life, and then you just do the 0 on Ajani, and he just walks away with all your opponent's artifacts and creatures.
Does it play the Loxodon thing that you gain life until you're equal to your total toughness on board?
I don't know. I play... It's a bunch of 1/1s with the Ajani's Welcome. So you gain life whenever a creature comes in.
Welcome to Ajani.
And then it has Ajani's Pride Mates, gain life there. It has Legion's Landing, which surprisingly you need it to flip because it doesn't run. I think it runs.
I guess you need to make it runs 1/1s.
Right, it runs 20 lands plus 4 of those, and so I count those as 20, 1, 2, 3, and 4, because I find myself getting stuck on 3 mana a lot. But
yeah, 20 lands will do that.
But it also runs the angel that has, if you gained 5 life this turn, make a 4/4 flying angel.
Ooh, Resplendent Angel's making a comeback after a year, huh?
Yeah, it ran Resplendent Angel, and then a it's like I have a podcast and I should prepare with the names of cards every once in a while.
Who wants to come prepared? That's not as fun for the audience.
It is really fun for them to go, wait, I know the name of this card. How does he not know it? It's the angel that costs 5 that has, when it comes in, all of your creatures get vigilance for the turn. It's an uncommon. I'm getting...
When you started talking about this deck, I just kind of zoned out.
You're like, who plays mono white?
I know.
In standard. That deck's been really fun as well. On rank, I've been playing on the ladder for a little bit there, and I did well. I got through up to gold by playing the mono white, and now I'm playing through gold. I think I'm gold 2 right now on the Omniscience combo. I think I've played 10 games, and I've won 3 of them by Jace Wielder of Mysteries myself.
I thought you were going to say I played 10 games and won 3. I'm like...
No, I think I played 10 games. I think I did win 7 of them.
Nice.
So, but I think I got lucky because I've gotten a few scoops because they just don't want to watch me play Magic alone.
They don't want a front seat to the wonderful show you're giving
All
me?
All you have to do is click that little button that says pass turn and it lets me do what I want. But
no, just click nice.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mute my phone because I feel bad if you just spam hello. Hello, your go.
Goodbye.
Yeah. The other thing that I saw it on Reddit today. I don't know if you saw this, but it's very funny. So I don't understand the cat that you get with the mystery pass, but you know, you can get a cat now that nice. Just sits on the battlefield, and when you do fun things, it like levels up and it'll like meow at your opponent. I don't get it, but it's like a fire cat.
I really want them to add in the like wow in the chat, but every time you click it, it's just Owen Wilson saying wow,
or just a picture of Owen Wilson pops up.
It just floats on the screen like a bubble.
And someone had, they had either just clicked a bunch or they programmed something to, like, they wrote a code to click on the cat. Like, because you can click, you can interact with the cat and it'll, like,
yeah.
But your opponent can see when you're clicking on your own cat. Well, they had like, clicked on the cat or coded something so that it constantly clicked on the cat. So it was spamming the cat, which was freezing the opponent's turn and was roping them. And the guy had to restart his game to get his game back on. And the guy would not stop spamming the cat, and it was roping his opponent. His opponent's cards could not resolve because every time it went to like the animation when it like flies your card out to the right to show that it's on the stack and then like goes to resolve on the board, it would just stutter because the guy was spamming clicking on the cat. So they had posted that on Reddit today. Someone was like, well, I just, cats got, I guess,
got claws.
I guess.
Spam.
And they were like, the developers really need to look into this to figure out why that is allowed. Like, why the cat's animation would take precedence over a card resolving. It makes no sense.
Cat has the highest priority level in Magic.
But I also don't understand why we have cats on the board at all. And
meow.
That's it. Cats got your tongue.
Yeah, out of all the animal in the world.
I mean, and are there cats in Standard, really? I mean, this is not Almond Cat anymore. We're out
almond
of that.
Almond Cat. That's like almond. I like almonds.
I like cats.
Yeah. Perfect size. You can bring it back. It marketed itself.
So I think that's really all that I've been seeing in Standard, but I thought that spamming thing. I mean, it was funny to see at first, and I was like, only imagine how frustrating that had to have been to just try to log on and play a game or two, and someone spammed you by clicking on a cat icon.
I could only imagine it'd be like that video of that German kid playing Unreal Tournament. He's just pressing the, like, slamming his keyboard, load, load.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's okay. I still love you.
Okay, good.
Sweet.
What's next?
I don't know.
We have modern and Commander bannings and unbannings. So there's been some shakeups in some formats.
Yeah, this was a busy week as far as format shakeups is concerned. Wizards must be pretty tired.
Shake it up.
From all the shaking.
Shake it. No, not shake it off.
Shake it off tonight?
No, the Taylor Swift song. Shake it off, right? Shake it off. Shake it off. Yeah. So
I don't know song lyrics.
So modern. What happened?
Some stuff. No, on Monday, they announced that Bridge from Below was banned from the format.
So no more Hogak.
No more Hogvine.
No more Hogvine. It's gone.
Yeah, so that was a pretty huge shakeup. I mean, they cited that the deck had a 60% win percentage against everything in the field. But I'll be honest, I think if anybody was competent enough to play that deck, like, well, I think the percentage was much higher than that.
Yeah? I mean, what are your thoughts? I know you play Modern more than I do.
I pay attention to Modern.
You do play more competitive Modern than I don't know if you've been playing this since Hogak's been out, but
Hogak.
I've watched plenty of videos. Hodor. So 60% win rate, and yep. You think it's better if you actually knew what you were doing. So it's gone now. I know that they said that people had to too heavily like sideboard, or they had to rely on like almost entirely on the sideboard, or they changed up their main deck to include stuff that should have just been sideboard cards, but they needed to compete game one.
Yeah, so I sold my Leyline of Voids a long time ago, and I actually had them on pre-order for the core set because, you know, the reprint. But since Monday, I've canceled that pre-order just because they're not needed anymore.
I mean, aren't they still valuable against dredge?
No, I think Nile Spellbomb and surgical extraction are enough for, or just rest in peace. You don't need that much graveyard hate anymore, as opposed, because like, look at the Mardu Death Shadow deck that had won the SCG Open like a couple weeks ago. It was main decking like four pieces of graveyard, and then it had another four in the sideboard. That's absurd, and it still could win through that. 60%, look, right?
60%, I mean, that's more than half the time they're just winning all the time.
60% of the time it works every time.
Yes, that is the Hogak deck. And then we had some commander changes as well.
Yeah, so my issue with the unbannings before we talk about them was they weren't a part of the official announcement for the banned and restricted list update. Like, you had to find it on Twitter and Reddit. Because when people are coming in and confused as to why certain cards were higher and lower, I had to tell them why, and they're like, "Why? Where did you find that out?" I said I had to look on social media.
Oh, you're talking about the banning and unbanning of commander cards?
Yes.
It's because there's an outside committee that makes the rules.
I've since found that out. Yeah.
Yes. And so they have the commander advisory group, and then they have the rules committee. And so it is difficult to see when cards are banned and unbanned, but because it's not on, like, it's on Wizards' website, but the posts for them are not done through Wizards. They're done through, I think it's Wizards.net or something. I forget what it's called. The actual Commander Rules website.
Yeah,
is that what it is? Wizards.net. Something
like that. Yeah.
It's, I think it has a wizard in it, and there's definitely .net.
There's definitely .dot in it, yep.
I can probably post that link, actually, after...
Man, we're so prepared for the show. We're crushing it. Right, we're chuggling right along.
We are. So we had... Well, let's do the unbanning. So we did a banning. Let's do the unbanning and then the other bannings.
We go negative. Now we go positive.
Yeah. Okay, so give us the... Is this a positive, though?
monetarily, probably not. So, Painter Servant is... unbanned in Commander, which also means that Grindstone is playable, but they banned Iona, Shield of Amaria, and Paradox Engine.
I mean, I guess I wasn't surprised. I guess everybody was surprised about Painter Servant, but I don't think anybody was surprised about Paradox Engine. And the funny thing is, I was talking with people about what they wanted to hear on the podcast this week. And one of the things was talking about whether or not Paradox Engine should or should not be banned. And, well, that happened. So people want to hear about this.
Well, before, did you have any decks that had Paradox Engine or Iona in it?
Zero.
I have one deck that has Paradox Engine, but it's not necessity. With it being an artifact, it did have good synergies with my artifact based deck.
Was this your Psy Master Thopterist deck?
It was, yes.
We did lose to you when you played that, because I removed that Paradox Engine to not lose so quickly.
Oh, no, you didn't just remove it, you removed it at least two times, and I brought it back, you know.
I have the announcement, so you can read it. So it says Paradox Engine has proven to be insanely problematic. Not only does it provide wins seemingly out of nowhere, it's demonstrated the potential to unintentionally wreck games.
And it says,
we don't ban cards that are only problematic if you build around them. Paradox Engine has clearly demonstrated that it doesn't need to be built around just to be broken. And that this is coming from Sheldon Menery. So he is.
Yeah, he's one of the.
He's on the rules committee. He is kind of like the leader of the, or I guess like the founder or the originator of the original ban list. And so
he's like the grandfather of Commander,
pretty much.
He's been playing it since it was still called EDH.
Didn't he like create EDH? I mean, wasn't that him?
We'll go with that. Yeah. I have no idea.
We'll fact check later, but that's what we think. To the best of my knowledge.
Yeah. We'll go with that. Yeah, we'll go.
Cool.
Thanks, Sheldon.
All right.
Not from Bing Bang.
Yeah. So I had it in none. I didn't see it too often, personally, but it was an expensive card.
Very expensive. It was peaking at what, $60
at times. I think when it got banned it was about $45. So
it came back down a little
bit. It did come back down. It could go in anything. I mean, that was
literally,
literally could go on any deck. And, I think they're right about saying you don't have to build around it for it to be busted. It makes game. It helps put you on autopilot, honestly.
Yeah.
You're like, cool, I get to,
if you have like a, I don't know, Hedron Archive and a Gilded Lotus, like you pretty much just can cast any spell for free.
Yeah. So I guess I'm lucky. I didn't have too many hits. I was reading, you know, posts online, and obviously the day of is the most volatile that you're going to see all the comments. Right. And there were some people that were posting things like, oh, I just lost, you know, six of my decks because I had Paradox Engine in every single one. Maybe you should have not played Paradox Engine in every single deck.
Right.
It's $40 per, and you had six of them. I mean, I don't. That is a big loss to you.
Yeah. I mean, I empathize with them because
absolutely.
I was playing Jund when Deathrite Shaman got banned, and I was very upset.
Sure.
But looking back, that card is just straight up busted. And the same thing goes for Paradox Engine. Like, you know, the night is darkest before the dawn, and I assure you the dawn is coming, my friends. It's not that big of a deal. You can find other busted cards.
Well, they got Painter Servant, so let's do the unban there. So Painter Servant is also kind of busted with Grindstone, because you just win.
Yeah. Name a color, and then you mill them until they don't have that many colors. Oh, wait. Everything is that color.
In your deck, in your hand, on the battlefield, yeah. in the great, right? It's just every single thing.
Yeah, it's every card you own is, each player owns is that name color.
So they said that it's been discussed for a long time and it's time to take off the shackles. They feel as though there are now more weird and fun uses for the card than there are dangerous uses. The card will provide deck builders with the same additional paths to explore and expressing their creativity. So, I mean, I don't disagree. I think it'll be fun, but
I think it's fine, but
the card's not $15 anymore. It's now over 40.
Yeah. It's, I think as of this morning, it was 49, like $50. So that's insane. That made a huge impact.
Don't buy those right now. Just wait two months, dude. You'll get them. I mean, they'll probably stay like 25 now or something, but
probably, yeah.
don't spend 50.
No, don't do it.
Just wait. I mean, I have a thing for instant gratification as well, but you don't need it right now.
No.
It's
no.
No
like this.
And then the other one that came as a surprise, I think, to most, honestly, was Iona, Shield of Emeria.
Yeah, I think. So, Iona is
Being banned.
Yeah, we gotta end on a bad note. On a banned note.
We brought him back for some good news, and we're going to tear it down again.
Yeah. We went from Mordor, or to Mordor from the Shire, and back to the Shire again. Just go with me. Just for all the dead air, folks.
It's my favorite movie.
Yeah.
Actually,
Star Wars is your favorite movie, huh?
I love Star Wars. Star Wars is great. The Force is with me.
It is.
People are going to be so mad at me right now. They're gonna be like, I can't listen to this podcast anymore. This guy's not.
I led you down that path. I apologize.
You set me up for failure.
I did. And you just went with it.
So Iona,
yeah.
She's gone.
She gone. Bye-bye.
So they said she created a negative experience for many players without the benefit of a positive application. They considered the high mana cost sufficient to keep it from getting played, but upon deeper investigation, demonstrated ways of getting it onto the battlefield without paying for it, which I've played against it literally two times. I mean, I've been playing Commander for a long time. I mean, maybe 2 years now, and I've played against it literally two times. Mm-hmm. It was awful both times, but it was either cheated out or reanimated both times. Yeah. It was never cast for nine.
Yep.
So
you always hear about stories of your, you know, friends getting shut out, right? And they have groups that have been shut out. Like, it's just through the grapevine. But, like, it just seems kind of out of left field for them to ban this, especially how it's been legal, you know, as long as Commander's been popular. I get it. I totally get it. But it just comes as a complete surprise to me.
I mean, I guess the good thing here, though, all of this is that the rules committee and Commander in general is meant to be played how you want. So there are lots of people who have house rules. There are lots of game shops that have house rules. I mean, I play at a game shop that has, you can't do an infinite combo more than 5 times on a single turn because it's not fun. There are some that say, you can't take infinite turns. That's just, we don't allow that here because that's not fun. But they let you know up front before
we don't
you
your
play.
Kind of around here is what they're saying.
If you play in their sanctioned events, if you play with just your friends, you can do whatever you want. You don't even have to follow the banned list if you don't want to. So you did
play Grizzlebrand, play Cabal.
Chaos. You lost your Paradox engine, but you can still play it at home with your friends. I mean, you can still play it at home with your friends. It's not like you can't play it anymore.
Yeah.
The value did go down. There were some shops that were offering we're not going to buy them because they're not played in any other format. Are they unplayable? I mean, they're unplayable now, right? Paradox Engine, it's not going to hit Modern. It's not...
I think Goldfish tried to kind of salvage it a little bit and try to make a Modern deck around it, but it was bad deck.
So, unfortunately, you lost the value, but you can still play at home. That's the upside. Yep. You can try out new decks. I have seen some videos and read some articles by the CEDH community, the competitive Commander decks. They did take a pretty big hit from Paradox Engine being banned. They don't have all of the combos that they had before. And I guess from what I understand, what I've been reading, it's been propping up quite a few decks that weren't viable before.
There's
a tiered list commander on Tapped Out that you can go check out. And they've already moved many commanders around since the bannings happened. They're like, this one is not competitive anymore because it solely relied on certain cards, which it's unfortunate for someone whose entire deck did get nuked. You know, I feel for them. So those were the bannings and unbannings. And I think our next topic is the War of the Spark foil sheets. So, you got one and I got one. And I think there were, so that I got mine, 2 weeks ago? I think we got them about 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
right? That's when they finally arrived.
End of June, right? Mid end June.
Yeah. It was towards the end of June. Yep. And so, the first thing that I started seeing on social media was that a lot of people got them damaged. And so I opened mine right away and mine was not horrible, but it was so like the bottom corner, the bottom right card on mine, they're not all the same, right? They're just cut at different spots or are they all identical?
No, they're all the same.
Okay. So the bottom right corner of mine is Narset's Reversal and it was like bent right up halfway through the card.
Yeah. A lot of people were having a bend where the person folding it, right down the middle is like where Nicol Bolas was, I think.
I saw a couple of really bad ones.
Yeah, they were just completely crumpled.
So you got one, and then you got one at the shop as well because your shop tried to order them so that you could have some for your customers.
Right. We had two for the store. I had two personally, and I had two friends who had two each.
Okay.
So and they were all of them were damaged.
We got one. It was damaged. Now I've seen a lot that were just damaged on the border. So that's not too bad.
Right.
Mine was damaged on actual card, but I did put in
the product replacement.
Request. Yeah. I just, because I'd like to frame mine.
Yeah.
And so another note, Michael's, the craft store right now has custom framing for 60% off. So the foil sheet is an odd size. So if you're looking to get yours, actually framed, you can get it at a huge discount because it sounded like when you looked into getting that framed, it was like $200 ish. So you can get that for 60% off. So that's pretty cool because these are going to be worth something.
Oh, for sure.
More in the future. I mean, they're selling for like $180 right now online.
Yeah. I have read that they have framing, for that size on Amazon, but I haven't.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. I haven't confirmed that, but it's not prime. So you won't be able to get it in 2 days.
Oh my gosh, we're going to have to wait like a week to get something from Amazon.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky because I live...
First world problems.
I do live in a city that has an Amazon distribution center like 4 miles from my house. And I do have items that are one day. And I was like, oh gosh, we're going to have something that shows up and it says I can same day delivery soon. And that's my goal. Don't ever go to the store. Buy every single thing from Amazon because I don't have to go to the store then. That's
how millennial of you.
It's, oh man, my millennial is showing, everyone. So all the damage on these,
yeah, from what I've read online, eBay's, eBay and Wizards customer support has put some blame towards FedEx for the damage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Even though most of what I've read from personal experiences is that it was the roll that was damaged and the tube that it came in was completely fine. So I don't understand.
Mine was totally fine too.
Yeah. So although I have read that some people, like FedEx drivers, are just like literally just harpooning it onto their front door.
I've seen a lot of those. If you look at people that have those Ring doorbells and you see people delivering packages, yeah, they just get whipped from like halfway across the lawn.
Yeah, I'll be going.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that was happening with these. That happens.
Oh, yeah. I'll put on like my house slippers and go outside and pick up the thing that he threw in my lawn and look down the street and he's tossing a 42-inch TV right into the backyard.
Yep. Seems really safe. And yeah. Yeah. Seems great. So they're putting some of the blame on FedEx. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then have you heard any more about, so the lawsuit was associated with War of the Spark?
Yeah. So shortly after the whole debacle with the War of the Spark Mythic Edition, there is a lawyer out of Atlanta, I think, who put a class action lawsuit against Wizards of the Coast. I don't know if eBay was named in that. I think it was just Wizards, but suing for damages, you know, with this whole debacle of not, you know, fulfilling the other 42,000 orders or whatever it was.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
there's no way. I mean, honestly,
I mean, to be honest, the guy, I don't even think the guy cares. He just wants a huge paycheck and to say that he sued a major corporation for something.
You think?
Yeah, it's kind of like the GameStop used game website or lawsuit all over again.
I don't know what happened.
So some guy tried suing GameStop because he wanted to get new DLC content that was included with a new game purchase by buying it used.
Oh. I mean, I assume he did not win.
It's still in litigation.
Oh, really?
But that was 7 years ago, so I don't know if anything's coming of that.
I mean, at this point, I assume that he probably bought his game or bought the DLC.
Yeah. And then
couldn't be more than $10, right? Honestly,
he saved $10. That's for sure.
You got a new cart in Mario Kart. That was the DLC, right?
Yeah, put that $10 towards his lawyer fees,
I guess. Honestly, well, I don't know. I haven't filed the lawsuit. I do remember seeing that a while ago, and everybody was like, "This is not,
yeah,
on it. This is a cash grab, right?" And then I know there were a lot of people that were worried about whether or not you would get your foil sheet if you put your name on that class action lawsuit. I mean, I didn't. I ignored that, all that stuff. I was like, goofy. This is so silly.
Although, from what I've read, Wizards tried to get it thrown out of court, and I think it's moving forward, but I don't know if anything's going
to
come of that.
Well, we'll have to look at that and post something if we can find it. so this weekend, Magic Fest Detroit is here, so we'll be down there. Probably just playing Commander. Last year we played at GP Detroit and we played in the main event. This year we decided that we wanted to be a bit more casual, so we're going to go down and just play side events.
We're filthy casuals.
And go shopping and spend too much money on our Magic cards.
Yeah, I'm going to spend my mortgage payment on cards. I hope my fiancé will understand.
Yeah, right. Well, I know Brian told me earlier that he wanted to get another Japanese guy's cradle. So if you have one and you're going to be there, tweet at us because he wants to trade into that. Or if you have one.
Brian likes his Japanese cards.
Yeah. So he wants his second Gaia's cradle. I don't even have one. I would like one, but I don't have any need for it, honestly.
Yes, you do. Don't lie.
I mean, I could find a spot for it, but I don't want to spend.
Something will open up, I'm sure.
Well, Paradox Engine out, Gaia's cradle in.
Yeah. Well, I was going to go more with Growing Rights, but
they both go in the same deck.
Oh.
So we have that coming up. What else do you have going on?
Working on my house more, you know, cause that's a never ending story. Yeah. Joys of ownership.
I'm traveling for work next week. And, other than that, I don't really have a whole lot going on this weekend other than being down at GP Detroit or, I'm sorry, Magic Fest Detroit. It's a new name. So if you're there, come find me. I'll probably just be playing Commander and, maybe some draft. I like draft. So I'll do some events of that depending on what we find.
I'm going to get a lot of my cards signed because Eric Deschamps is in town. He's does some really great art and cards that I have a lot of. So
I'll have to see if he has any prints that I need. I usually at least pick up one each event. So, well, anyway, I think that's what we have for today. So you can find me on Twitter at @ATFlory.
And you can find me at @BallerManCometh.
And we decided on our hashtag. It is #GuardianProjectPod. So look out for that in the future. We like to hear from you, so send along your comments and any topics you'd like to hear about. And we will certainly address them in the future. And thanks for joining.
See you later.
Bye.
Episode 4 is in the books.
The best one,
yeah?
Yeah, it's got
ha 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 ha.